driver, start your engines!
The Lapped Traffic Podcast has brought you over 300 shows, driver and media interviews, awesome stories and entertainment, and one of the coolest fantasy leagues around. Get ready for another exciting season. Sit back, relax, and try not to get lapped. Now, here's your host, the Professor, Brendan Crump!
What is up, Lapped Traffic Nation? Yes, I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Welcome to episode 332 of the Lapped Traffic Podcast. I am so excited to be back with you guys this week. And how fitting that intro, wrestling style intro. It is WrestleMania weekend. Very excited about that. I'm sure the Twitter will be blowing y'all up this weekend with some WrestleMania content, as well as some Martinsville content, as we got an awesome race weekend coming up ahead. All three series will be racing this weekend, which is awesome. How is everyone doing? Well, our streak of new winners is over. It didn't last too long. We'll get into that in just a bit. Like I said, it's WrestleMania weekend, which means Dustin Albino is going to have to come on from jayski.com and recap that over the next week or two. Lots going on. Catering business is doing good, picking up, which is awesome. And this was really cool. Last week was a busy week. I went to lunch with the Michigan International Speedway track president, Joe Fowler, which was awesome. We got to talk about the podcast, talk racing, talk about Michigan, the track itself, all the things that they are doing and getting ready for this summer with the Faster Horses Concert Festival, which has just blown up and become a huge, huge event at MIS, as well as race weekend later in the summer, which I am very, very excited about. Lots to do today. But before we do that, just a reminder, this week's show brought to you by Threes at Crowd Catering. Do you want to impress the next crowd you host? Then let me, Brandon Crowd of Threes at Crowd Catering, bring his passion from hosting his own friends and family in his kitchen to yours, featuring barbecue, Italian, American menu options, summer events, graduation season right around the corner. Book your next event now by calling or texting 586-668-5835. Visit our website, 3crowdcatering.com. That's the number 3crowdcatering.com. Follow along on social media at 3crowdcatering. Let the crowds cater your next crowd. All right. Business is done. Lots to do this week. Well, first of all, I hope you enjoyed last week's show with Michael McDowell. Great to have him back on. And coming up today, very excited, three guests for you. From the Cup Series, we got John Hunter Nemechek. From the Xfinity Series, as well as making pulling double duty this weekend, Josh Williams. And then a unique and different style of a guest, TikTok creator Natalie Naples, with over 2.7 million followers. If you have TikTok or Instagram, she is all over it, blowing it up. She's been to a couple NASCAR races, and she was at Bristol a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, you know what? That'd be a cool guest to have on. Let's reach out. And we did. And sure enough, we're going to hang out with her for a little bit and chat with her as well. Get to know life as a content creator, as well as her NASCAR experiences and her newfound love for the sport. So lots to do, lots to get into here. So let's kick things off with John Hunter Nemechek. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fourth appearance on the show. He is the driver of the number 42 Romco Equipment with the Legacy Motor Club. Welcome back to the show, John Hunter Nemechek. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming back on. It's been a minute since we last talked a few years ago at MIS, and glad to be able to catch up with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting with you and seeing what kind of crazy answers we come up with today.
Well, so let's start with this, man. It's been a hell of a ride for you. Truck to Cup, to truck, Xfinity, back to Cup now. This is going to be a cliche question, but it's relevant. You know, talk about the different stages of your career to get where you're at today.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting career path for sure. Having been in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, going to Cup for 1 year, and then back to the Truck Series with Toyota TRD, and then the Xfinity Series last year, and now back to the Cup Series. That was the goal with kind of stepping back, was to align ourselves in a little bit better position in our opinion, and put ourselves with a team where we felt like we could continue to compete at a very high level and try and win races and championships in the Cup Series. And I definitely feel good about Legacy Motor Club. I feel good about the vision that we have, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work hard and continuing to build this program to hopefully do that here in the very near future.
That's awesome, man. It's so cool. It's been fun to watch your career. You know, talk about the fact of, you know, social media, right? It can be the best thing in the world. It can be the worst thing on the planet. You know, obviously there was so much talk about, oh, demotions. You know, we saw it with you when you went back to truck. We've seen it with Cole Custer, you know, but we've seen drivers be able to thrive. You know, do you feel more prepared this go around than your first go around in Cup? Like, where are you at there?
I don't know if it's necessarily about being more prepared or not. I think it comes down to just laps experience, kind of being more mature this time than the first time, per se.
Sure.
I definitely think that there's a lot that weighs on you in the Cup Series, especially if you come in and you're not running great right off the bat. And it can take a mental toll. So being able to kind of grow up through that and understand that and try and figure out how to be better in those areas, I definitely would say, I guess I'm more prepared for that this go around than the last go around.
Sure.
I think it comes with just age and wisdom and life experiences, per se.
Absolutely, for sure. Talk about the difference between the garages as a driver. You know, break it down for the fans. You know, the different camaraderie levels, the different, hey, you know, what can we rely on as far as help is between the three garages, because you've been in all three, you know, at length now. So, you know, what's the difference between the garages like between each of the three series?
Man, the Truck Series is probably the most relaxed garage. And then you go to the Xfinity Series, and it's more stressful than the truck garage, just everyone kind of working hard. And then you go to the Cup garage, and it's a whole another level times 5 or 10. Just completely different vibes. The Cup Series is hard, no matter what team you're with, what car you're in. It's hard every single week. And you have to be on your A game at all times. And I think every crew member knows that in the Cup Series garage as well.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of why it puts off those vibes. But man, it's super serious on the Cup side,
right?
At any point in time.
Yeah. Well, you got more fans, you've got more sponsors, you've got, you know, it's just like you said, you know, it's amped up, you know, so much more. And you can feel that, you know, walking through, like you can tell, you can feel the different levels of stress. Is if all three race series are running at the track that weekend, like you can feel that as you walk through each section of the different garages.
Yes, 100%.
Talk about your off season. What was it like for you getting ready, new team, you know, any, I assume there's obviously, you know, it's getting a new team, crew chief, crew guys, all of that. You know, what was your prep like for that?
A lot. A lot of time spent working on stuff, diving into simulation and SMT data and kind of notes and different things of that sort. But a lot of time spent in the off season with that, especially with the manufacturer swap for Legacy MC from Chevy to Toyota. I definitely think that was probably one of the biggest changeovers.
Sure.
Luckily, my crew chief, Ben Bayshore, came with me from the Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity team last year. So we at least have a history and have communicated well and have won a lot of races together and hope to continue that trend. But there's a level of comfort there.
Sure.
So it wasn't about trying to get to necessarily know him, but there's a lot of new faces at Legacy Motor Club that I've had to spend some time with, and also some familiar ones with guys that I've worked with on past teams, some guys that actually worked for us at NIMCO Motorsports way back in the day. So it's kind of crazy how small the racing world is, but It was a lot of time spent trying to prep and trying to get ready for this year. And as well during the off season, trying to get away as well, trying to spend some time with my family and being able to rest and reset for 2024. The Cup Series is a super long schedule compared to the Xfinity Series and Truck Series as well. So a lot of weekends on the road, which I love, but at the same time, it can take a toll if it's not going in the correct direction. So that TLC for yourself and family is definitely nice during the off season as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. What's it like having Jimmy Johnson a part of the team?
It's awesome to have
how
Jimmy.
How could it not be, right?
I mean, to have Jimmy as an owner, it's pretty incredible. I joke with him that this is his legacy 2.0, or that's what we're going to try and create here. And I definitely have been able to spend quite a bit of time around Jimmy and love every chance that I get to spend with him. It's every time I'm around him, I'm learning something new. And it's pretty incredible to hear stories from his career and things that he did to have success on the racetrack and off the racetrack. And to have a 7-time champion and a guy that has been one of the greatest in the NASCAR Cup Series is truly amazing to have in your corner to push you and to be able to advise you and most of all to be there and still race against you.
Right,
I mean, it's super cool. So I love having Jimmy as an owner, Maury Gallagher as well. Some great names and great people.
That's great, man. I love that. Let's see. We're six races into the season. We've basically kind of covered each of the track types from the super speedways, intermediate, short, road courses past weekend. Two top tens for you, Daytona, Bristol. Bristol, man, what a unique beast that was. Talk about where you feel you guys are at as a team right now through the first six races.
We've had our ups and downs for sure. I feel like we kind of know where we need to get better at this point. We know where we've struggled. We know where we've run decent and made days out of it. So it's a struggle for sure, not having a lot of historical notes and different things to go off of. For myself, it's been trying to adapt to this next-gen car. I feel like you have to drive it different than you would an Xfinity car or a truck, in a sense. So it's been a big adaptation for me. I feel like we've been able to figure it out decent so far. We've shown speed almost every week as far as lap time wise, but haven't been able to put great races together at some of these racetracks. So
sure.
We know where we've struggled. We know where we need to get better, and it's going to be a constant evolution of just progress, I hope. We're all working towards the same end goal.
Sure. One more for you, which kind of ties into what you kind of just mentioned here in terms of, you know, the getting adapted to the new car. We're going to Richmond this week. You've got some really solid finishes at that track and the truck in the Xfinity Series. Knowing that the car is completely different, is there anything that you can bring to help improve performance based on, you know, the past positive results you've had there?
Man, I hope so. I definitely think that some things will apply. I mean, the racetrack is still the racetrack, right? The
sure.
car may drive different, and it is a different type of vehicle than the Xfinity car or the truck is, but I do think a lot of the same things will apply. I don't have a ton of experience with night races there, so definitely something for me to work on and figure out compared to day races. But Richmond in a whole has been really good to me, and I've been able to figure that place out a little bit, I feel like. So hopefully we can go there and have success. I feel like tire fall off is going to be pretty big this weekend. I think it's the same tire as Phoenix from the spring. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to going to a racetrack that I know and feel really comfortable with. I feel like one of my best racetracks, and seeing what kind of race we can put together.
I love it, man. Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, John Hunter Nemechek, thanks for coming back on the show. Best of luck to you this weekend at Richmond, and look forward to catching up with you soon, man. Thanks so much.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome, man. Take care. We'll see ya.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Great to catch back up with John Hunter Nemechek there. All right. Let's do just a very, very small recap from this past weekend at Richmond, because there is a lot still to get into. On the Xfinity side of things, Chandler Smith picked up the win. Very popular pick in Lap Traffic Fantasy. And I suspect he will continue to be a very popular pick in Lap Traffic Fantasy as the season continues. Over on the Cup side of things, you know, Denny Hamlin and Toyota, those two just go hand in hand at Richmond. They dominate. I'm not surprised Denny Hamlin picked up his fifth win this past weekend at the track. And if you look at the last 15 trips at Richmond, Toyota's got 8 wins. So, It's definitely Toyota favorite, that's for sure. The big question, did Denny Hamlin jump? I'll get to that here in a minute when I get to some of your guys' feedback. But the one thing, rain tires. First points oval race that those were ran, which was pretty cool. Save time from a rain delay perspective. You know, just another step NASCAR taking. You know, who would have thought we'd see that? Who'd have thought we'd see NASCAR move a race date, let alone time, which we've seen that already this year. Some pretty solid steps taken by NASCAR this year alone and just, you know, a handful of races, which I think is pretty cool. All right. I asked for some of your feedback with regards to what your takeaways are after Richmond. Matthew Kendrick, it's CH9SE fan. It was good. Bit of a cluster thing for stage one with the wet rain, but it was successful. So that was good. Richmond is a long, methodical race, so a lot of fans might not get why it's a good race. Xfinity sucked because NASCAR didn't give them enough tires. 3 sets barely did the race. Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that as well. You know, didn't we run into our tire issues and set allotment issues at Bristol? You 3 sets definitely not enough there. Jeremy at Lost_10MMSocket. Did Jenny jump the restart? Yes. Am I glad he won? Also, yes. There would have been no difference if he had done the same thing a second later in the zone. Everybody just loves to hate on Denny. Denny does catch some heat. There is no doubt about that. EJ at The Real EJ Gold. I thought Richmond was intriguing as hell. Enough going on throughout the race, throughout the pack, that it never allowed my usual stage to nap. I could have done without the added drama of the OT, screwed up my fantasy points big time. My 9th to 7th move in LT fantasy is nice, but a Truex win probably would have been good for a top 3, damn it. I love that, EJ. And hey, you know, who doesn't love a little snooze during stage 2? I've been known to do that myself. Scott Wagner at 1985 Wagner. Ford is improving. Toyota is damn good on short tracks and road courses. Hopefully it's more than an HMS JGR Championship contender for. Scott, I'm going to piggyback off that with you on my takeaway for this weekend. I think Chevy has the speed at the big tracks, and Toyota seem to have the number for everybody on the short track. For me, I think jury's still out on road courses, but I'm with you. You know, Toyota definitely is going to be favored in quite a few of those throughout the rest of the season. And Ford, I mean, Ford just flat out has some work to do. There's no doubt about that. And yes, I definitely think Jenny jumped the restart there. And he is, you know, just, you know, the what do you want to say? You know, he takes the heat for that kind of stuff. You know, NASCAR ruled it was a fair restart. Like I said, I think he jumped. Would it have made a difference? I don't think so. But yeah, I think he rolled that a few, you know, 20, 30 feet sooner than what he should have there or whatever it may have been. But, you know, it is what it is. There we go. On to Martinsville. All right. Let's do a little lap traffic social media. And then since we're at the social media segment, I think it's perfect time to talk to our social media content creator, first-time guest, Natalie Naples, here in just a second. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all at Lap Traffic PC. If you've made it this far to the show, leave a review, tell your friends, all of that good stuff. And don't forget that I've got Lap Traffic koozie stickers, all that good stuff to send out to you for free. All you got to do is reach out to me, fill out the contact page on the website, shoot me a DM, at me on Twitter, all of that good stuff. Happy to get that out to you. Okay. Very excited about this. I've plugged it, and I am so excited to get to talk with her because she's awesome, and I hope this isn't the last time she's on the show. Who knows? Maybe we'll even see her at Michigan. From TikTok, you can follow her at NNaples. It is Natalie Naples.
That's funny.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, take three. Joining me on the line, making her first appearance on the show with over 2.7 million followers on TikTok, the girl of 2.7 million jobs, a diehard sports fan and NASCAR fan. You can follow her on Twitter at NNapples. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Natalie Rose, what's up, girl?
Hey, how are you?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I am really excited to get to chat with you today. I've had the drivers, I've had the media people on from NASCAR, track presidents. You're the first content creator to be on the show. And I mean, when I go big, you go big, right? You get someone at your caliber. So thank you for coming on and taking some time. What's life like as a content creator?
Thanks for having me. I feel honored, first of all, to be your first content creator on the podcast.
Thank you.
Life is freaking crazy. You have to be so moldable and willing to just have whatever's thrown at you and just work with it. So one day I'm in town, some days haven't even been home for like 15 days, I never know what to expect, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
It can't be boring, and you don't have the corporate ladder to answer to. So that part's got to be, I would think, refreshing to know, like, if you don't want to do something, you can say no and go about it and be creative. Hence, content creator, right?
Yeah, I tried to say no to this podcast, but you're bugging me.
I love it. That's fantastic. What got you started with, the whole TikTok thing? I know a lot of people started, filming content during the start of the pandemic because everybody was bored, and TikTok kind of really got a jolt of energy, I feel like, around that time. When did you get into it? What were some of your first ideas and viral videos that spun to where we're at now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. I feel like I am one of many people who got on the app during the pandemic so I could have some form of a creative outlet so I wouldn't go entirely crazy. And between luck and a good idea, I took off, and I have just tried to ride the wave as long as I can. And I've been extremely grateful and haven't taken a single day for granted for the stuff that's been, the opportunities that have been opened up for me. I guess to answer your question on how it kind of started, it started with me at my old job. I had posted a video at work with a coworker, and we were both dressed in our scrubs, and we made a quick 9-second dance video. And I had a really mean comment get posted to the video saying, "Remember when you're supposed to be saving people's lives, but instead you're at work making TikToks." And because I was in scrubs, that person automatically thought I was a nurse and I wasn't a nurse.
Sure.
And so we made a clap back video in response to that comment. And I held up a sign saying, "I'm not a nurse." And I was also in my scrubs, and the caption said something along the lines of, "Let's guess what I do for a living." And from that point on, it was, people genuinely trying to guess what I did.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, she's not a nurse. What else? What other profession requires someone to wear scrubs? And so there were legitimate guesses on it. And then this is what I love about TikTok is the wittiness of followers. They just started putting things like, "No, look at her. She's a dump truck driver. She's a police officer. She's a firefighter." And it was when I saw the firefighter comment that I said, "Oh my gosh, I could do something with this."
Yeah.
And so that's led each questions.
How bummed were you? And I don't know where even the sound came from, but it was like your primary sound that you would use for those videos to not be on TikTok anymore. Like, that had to be like just soul crushing, I bet.
Yeah, for the last 3 years, that has been an ongoing fear that the sound would just disappear. And I've, always kind of thought worst case scenario and how I would handle that situation. I'm actually a lot prouder. I'm much more proud of myself for how I handled it than I thought I was. I think a part of it was shock, but I also feel as if, like, okay, this was just this was not supposed to be the only thing that defined me as a content creator. There's other things that make me fun and exciting to watch and be a part of. And I'm just leaning into that version of myself now.
Sure.
So.
Sure. What, you know, like, walk us through, you know, did you just walking down the street, fire truck? Hey, you guys got 5 minutes. Can I hop on and do like, what were some of the reactions to people that, you know, maybe didn't, you know you and like, who is this chick asking me to do this? Like, how did some of those go?
Yeah. So the firefighter one, I feel like a majority of the ones I started off with were friends of friends, family members, people like filling in those roles for me. And the firefighter is a great example of that. My brother-in-law, Trent, is a firefighter.
Okay.
I was living in Oregon. And so I had contacted him and I said, hey, can I come to the station and get put on your turnouts? And will you do this video with me? And he's like, heck yeah. So that's that awesome. Video was easy to make. But my favorite, one of my favorite stories to tell is my police officer encounter, because I did not have a connection to a police officer. It was one of the first times that I was like, okay, I'm going to really just insert myself into someone's life here. Right. And it required me driving around my small town. And I was like, there's a bunch of police cars parked everywhere, like hidden, trying to, you know, pull people over. And so I drove around my small town purposely trying to seek out a police officer. And I found two cops. They were in the middle of issuing a woman a ticket.
That's great.
Pulled the car over and I just waited for them to be done. And I walked over to one of the guys in his car once they were done. And I just did my pitch. I explained to him and he was like, wait, what? And I was like, I know it's great, but would this be something you'd be willing to do? And he was like, heck yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Talk a little bit about, so, you know, what ended up then sparking, like, you know, the, you know, doing content with the Indianapolis Colts mascot and you know, that it was, you know, the sports trend really started to pick up after that, you know, is that at first you reaching out to them and now the people are reaching out to you to come and do content in that fashion?
No, that's what's so crazy, Brandon, is the sports world was not the route I was planning on going with the content at all.
Okay.
It just happened to go that way because people like the Indianapolis Colts, the Detroit Lions, the Vikings, they were the ones reaching out to me saying, well, wait, we want her to come work with us for the day. That would be super fun. And then it kind of became this like tug of war game between organizations where it's like, no, she works for us. No, she works over here. And then fans were just like, okay, where's she going to be this weekend? Weekend's game, you know?
Sure.
And then that's incorporated into NASCAR.
Wow. You've got an open invite to Detroit because I'm a Lions season ticket holder. So the next time you come up, granted, I know they'll take care of you too, but you know, next time you come up to Detroit, let me know.
Okay.
Let's see. How much of it comes natural? How much of it is, you know, sitting down and actually trying to, you know, write material?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think I would say about 85% of what I do comes very naturally because I enjoy what I do so much. And I think brands and teams and organizations recognize that. And that is kind of what sets me apart. I don't know. I only feel like there's been a handful of times where I've really struggled with having to create the content. Other than that, I just see something. I go, oh, there's a voiceover in my head right now that I want to do. Oh, there's a skit that I have in my head.
Sure.
So
that's awesome. What, and from like an editing perspective and things like that, you know, do you have it down pat to where it's one takes and posts, or, you know, is it, you know, perfecting and making sure there's no, you know, coughs or any, you know, any of that kind of stuff in the videos?
I feel like I'd been pretty spoiled with the sound that made me go viral because it was only a 9-second video and there was only two clips to it. And sure. It was very, very simple. But if you do, I mean, anyone who goes on a collaboration with me or is my plus one or my assistant, they all know that if it takes me more than 3 tries to do something, I'm out. Like
Ooh, thank God I got the intro right after three then.
I'm like, I just get it. I feel like the organic side of it just starts to get lost. And if it starts to become too difficult to film it, then it's going to read on camera. And I just, that's when I have to say, okay, let's pivot. Let's try a different idea completely. So no, I am not a, we're going to sit and shoot here for an hour. I am a, let's get this, let's get in and out. Like, let's just have fun doing this. And that's why the videos do so well.
That's awesome. That's really cool. All right, let's talk a little NASCAR. You've been to a couple races. You've done NASCAR content over the last couple of years when you do go. You know, did you have any, you know, eyes on the sport before TikTok, before, you know, what was your, you know, thoughts of NASCAR before the TikTok side of things?
Absolutely nothing. No, I had never been to a NASCAR race. I knew the stereotypes that came with it, and sure, that was about it. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was reached out to by NASCAR to work with them, I think it was 2 years ago now, I was like, yeah, I don't really know what kind of content we can make around cars going in a circle over and over. Like,
sure,
literally.
Yep.
That was the ignorance I had to the sport prior to going.
That is what drove me to reach out to you, to be honest with you, because, you know, like, my followers, they're NASCAR fans, right? If you're listening to an amateur-based NASCAR podcast, you better be a diehard. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you if you're listening to me from that regard. You know, you've got such a wide audience span that's what I loved about the videos. And like I said, why I reached out, because you were able to help, you know, break that, what you just said, like the stereotype of, oh, this is my, you know, uncle and grandpa's NASCAR, and, you know, can really help show that a NASCAR race weekend is an event weekend. It's a, if you want to make it about, you know, the race, you can. If you want to make it a guy's trip, you can. If you want to make it a girl's trip, you can. And the racing can be secondary, you know, and it's just a weekend of entertainment, fun, and all of that. So that's why I loved what you did with your content for it, because it can help get that message out to an audience that may not realize that.
You know, absolutely. The one thing I love about what I do so much is that when I go and shadow a job or I pose as a new professional every day, there's a lot of stuff that I go into knowing absolutely nothing about the what's it called? The career,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Or the profession. And then I leave 48 hours later and I know just a little bit more about it and I appreciate it even more. And that is exactly what happened with NASCAR. And I have told people this story so many times, specifically in regards to NASCAR, is like, take a girl who, you know, grew up watching football and baseball, but not anything other than that. And I get to go to a race weekend and I left that weekend kind of in love with the sport.
That's awesome. I love that. So, yeah. What tracks have you been to? Has it just been Bristol? Cause I know you've been,
I went to Bristol and I went to Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Awesome. Both very, very awesome tracks. So I know your first go around, I think you did some work with Tyler Riddick and Martin Truex Jr.'s team, if memory serves correctly. And then this time around, I saw you were there with a lot of other content creators. Justin, who is just, I mean, he's an awesome account to follow and all of that. So,
he would kill you if you called him a content creator, which he'll get over it. But guess what? Justin, you are a content creator. He's like, I was like, shut up.
That's great. So what was the experience like this time around?
Very different. The first time around I was not in a suite. I was not with any other content creators. I got to bring like a plus one and got to go in the grandstands and kind of experience it,
the right way.
Like general admission the right way, I would say. And this time around, we were put into a suite, which I was very appreciative of. got to meet a lot of other NASCAR fans, and was able to ask questions about the race or the weekend without feeling totally stupid, you know?
Sure, sure. Do you have a driver now? It would be the big question that I'd get scolded for if I didn't ask you that at this point in time.
No, to be fair, if you go look at my content, I was wearing Kyle Larson gear, but that's only because I didn't like any of the other drivers.
Yeah. That's a great point. And you know what? Like, you know, tag Fanatics in something, because you might be able to get something done. I know a lot of people that listen to this show, and myself included. The apparel from a NASCAR perspective, like if you go out to the track and you're walking around the haulers outside the grandstand area, all of that, you can tell it was just copy and paste with refill of, you know, that driver's, like there's no originality anymore in the NASCAR apparel. And, you know, that leads into a lack of kids apparel, a lack of women's apparel, and cool creative things that would make someone want to go, oh yeah, I got to have that. So no, I totally get what you're saying there.
So to answer your question, I just don't want to confuse people. If they go look at my account, they're like, what the heck? She's wearing Kyle Larson gear. Yes, I know. But I am an Austin Dillon fan. Okay. And I do feel I have to say Kyle Busch, just because he's kind of like a controversy as well.
Absolutely. So. Yes. No, he's definitely, for my wrestling fans out there, like myself, he's the heel sometimes, which is awesome. So absolutely.
Who's your driver, Brandon?
Great question. Okay. So before the podcast, right? Like grew up in with the sport. My driver was Kevin Harvick. Like my man cave in the basement is decked out in Kevin Harvick, and cool. He's retired. Obviously now he's doing the broadcast side of things. And that's been a question I've gotten a lot. Well, who's your new driver? And it's one of those things that a lot of NASCAR fans that had, you know, Jimmy Johnson as their driver, Jeff Gordon as their driver, you know, you put 20 years of passion and fandom behind one individual person. It's hard to recreate that same level of excitement and that same level of rootness, if that's not even a word. But, you know, so I'm just kind of in limbo at the moment in terms of that next driver. And I honestly think the only way I think I'll get a sense of recreating that same passion and energy for somebody is our son is 2 years old and he is glued to the TV on football weekends and race weekends, and he's getting excited about it. So once he develops a passion for somebody, that's someone I'll latch on to, so that's something we can do together. But, it's a long-winded response to say right now, like, I'm just so appreciative of all the drivers that take time to come out onto my show. So, I mean, I'm rooting for those guys, you know, left and right, because they're someone that, you know, took a chance on coming on an amateur podcast early on and helped let the show grow to the level that it is now.
That's such a good political answer.
Thank you.
Makes me
pull up. Oh, my God. I love it. That's great. That's so cool. So what, you've been to Atlanta, been to Bristol. I know you moved to Tennessee, so that kind of probably helped with the Bristol location there. Did anybody try to coax you to your next race or next track?
No, not yet. But I mean, I'm all ready if anyone wants to invite me out. I'm good. You know what's so funny is I said this to one of my girlfriends. I go, you know, I've been to a lot of sporting events, and it is very difficult, I feel like, for a female to say that I can go to a sporting event, be in a suite with all men. And I mean, it was literally me and my plus one and one other female that were there, and feel so utterly safe
with
NASCAR fans. Yep. Like, I mean, I go to like a NFL game and I'm pretty much glued to my plus one most of the time, because you just don't know what you're going to get or what to expect with fans there. But I go to a NASCAR race and I'm like, I'm home. These are my people. Yep. Like, which is so silly to say, because I've only been to two races, but I've never felt safer with more Southern men in my entire life. Like,
I totally get it. It is a, you know, the camaraderie amongst NASCAR fans is unique in that I feel like, because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, you go to a Lions game, right? You've got 90% of the fan base there is for Detroit. You maybe have the 10 to 20% visiting crowd, so to speak, right? So the amp upness in terms of the lashings verbally that you may catch, yeah. You know, you go to a NASCAR race, it doesn't matter if you're in Michigan, if you're in Richmond, you're in Bristol, you're in Daytona, you know, you're going to have a fan base of 36 different drivers. So, you know, no one's really outnumbered at any capacity. So I feel like that keeps everybody kind of reeled in, and it just allows everybody just to have a good time. Everyone's there to embrace the sport. And like I said, just enjoy the race weekend.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
That's fantastic. All right. So again, all right. So we'll get you up to Michigan in August. So get that one on the on the books there. What's next content wise? Is there anything coming up that you know you want to plug? Anything along those lines?
Oh yeah, this is really good. So I actually just posted a video announcing a really big announcement that we're coming out with Red Bull. So I'm sponsored by them, and I am participating in Red Bull's challenge, which is called Can You Make It? It's a challenge where they have you and your team of two, so three people total, that get dropped off in a random city in Europe. And you have 7 days to get from your random city. You don't know where you're getting dropped off at. And you have 7 days to get to Berlin. And your only form of currency is Red Bull cans.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the next big thing that we're doing. So
will you be involved with that? And you may not be able to answer. And I can totally, you know, I get that. But like, are you going to be hosting? Are you going to be like following these people around, like as on their journey?
I am participating. I am a contestant race.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's really cool. When does that start?
Good question. May 21st through the 20th. It's a 7-day challenge. And yeah, so, you know, along those within those seven days, there's going to be tasks and challenges that you have to complete to acquire more points in order to win. And so, yeah, people are submitting their applications from all over. There's going to be, I believe, 265 teams total that get to compete. And I'm one of those 265 teams that is competing to win it all.
Did you get to pick your teammates, or are they, is it randomly selected?
No, I did. That's what's so fun about it too. So I actually am involving my brother-in-law, Trent, the one who was in the video. And then I also am involving, another content creator. His name is Jordan. He goes by Counting Countries on Instagram and TikTok, and he has traveled to over 100 countries. And so I was very strategic about picking out my teammates, because Jordan, great, he's most likely been to any of the countries that we're getting dropped off in, and he'll kind of know the lay of the land. And Trent, a fighter, his whole job is to be a problem solver. So he's going to help us figure out how to get from point A to point B.
That's great. That's fantastic. I love that. That'll be fun to watch. And will you be able to, like, you know, blog your experience on TikTok throughout the way and all of that?
Bits and pieces. There will be a lot to come, but because I'm participating as a normal contestant, none of us get to use our phones. We'll have a phone that's given to us, and I'm sure we can blog.
Got it.
Along. But yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Any plans for the Easter weekend coming up?
Oh, you know, just going to church, making some cinnamon rolls and some quiche, and maybe doing some, painting some Easter eggs. But yeah, nothing too crazy.
I love it. Very cool. Well, Natalie, tell everyone where they can follow you across all of your social media platforms.
Yeah, thanks. So you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok. It's Napples with two N's. So it's NNAPPLES. And you'll find a cute little pink picture of myself, and that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. It was great to hear your story, and I'm excited to get that out to my followers and fan base. And I can't reiterate enough how much I feel like someone that has the following that you do, getting NASCAR out in such a wide platform, what it does for the sport. I think that's incredible. And hopefully we can continue to get more new fans in through content like yours and what you put out there. So thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully this isn't the last time we have you on the show, and I hope you have a great weekend and good luck on your Red Bull Challenge and all of that good stuff, and look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Take care. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, there you have Natalie. Really, really enjoyed talking with her. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Something different for the show. Let's keep things going. Let's get things right back NASCAR related. And let's talk to Xfinity and Cup driver Josh Williams from Colleg Racing. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making a second appearance on the show, is the driver of the number 16 and 11, Alloy Employer Services, and call811.com Chevy with Colleg Racing. Welcome back to the show, Josh Williams. What's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, pretty good, man. Just here at the shop, getting fitted in the Cup car and having some meetings today on the Xfinity side. Just trying to get prepared for this weekend.
Yeah, man, pulling double duty. Are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be quite a few laps around that paperclip this weekend.
Yeah, man, it is. So, listen, man, it's been a hell of a year. Like, literally, we're kind of just past the year mark of the infamous Atlanta race there. And, you know, what's the ride been like for you, man?
It's changed drastically over the last 12 months, I can tell you that. You know, it's been pretty exciting, you know, to see the fan base grow, you know, around Josh Williams and, you know, everything that we do off the track and on the track. So that's been pretty neat to watch. And, you know, being over here at Colleg Racing and being a part of this program has been something special for sure. We finally got our feet under us here after Richmond. So hopefully we can keep this momentum up and keep having good, solid finishes.
No, for sure, man. What was the adjustment like for you moving teams, you know, getting used to, you know, new shop, new teammates, new employees, new track, pit crew guys, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, every time I come in the shop, I try to work on these race cars, and they get mad at me and tell me that I'm just a driver. So that's been a big adjustment for me. And I'm actually wearing blue jeans and a polo here at the shop, and I usually don't do that. I usually got work clothes on, but, you know, that part's been pretty cool, man, just trying to, you know, focus on the driving side of things and just, you know, try to improve myself and you know, just learn how these big teams operate. You know, they got a lot of information and a lot of tools that we can use to be better, and, you know, just trying to utilize all those programs.
No, that's great, man. I'm very happy for you. It's been fun to watch and see you grow in such a short period of time. Well, you've been around a minute, but to be able to see the transition change so quickly has been a lot of fun to watch. You know, the first couple races, you know, obviously Daytona's Daytona, Atlanta's Atlanta. Like you mentioned, you know, pretty solid finish this past weekend. You know, where are you at as far as where the team is, you know, four or five races into the season?
You know, we have had a rough start, you know, just bad luck and circumstances out of our control. And I feel like Richmond, we put a good race together and we had a really fast race car. And, you know, I don't want to be frustrated with 12th, but we were a lot better than 12th place, you know, on the racetrack itself. So happy that we had a good finish, but, you know, we still want more, and we're going to go into Martinsville this weekend and have a good finish again and, you know, keep climbing that ladder.
No, that's great. You know, Martinsville, as I said, you know, double duty, you've got some solid finishes there in the Xfinity side of things. You know, how much of a struggle will it be in terms of double duty, the Cup car side of things versus the Xfinity side of things?
You know, it's going to be different, right? The cars are polar opposites. So it's going to be a little bit getting used to swapping into the Cup car, but We had a good solid showing at the Clash in the Cup Car at the first part of the year, and we're going to try to take some of the things we learned there and apply it to Martinsville, and hopefully have a good finish there and learn a lot. You know, anytime I can get an opportunity to drive these Cup Cars to learn about them and know how they drive is, you know, that's our goal this year, is just to try to get some seat time every chance I get and learn. So, you know, one day we'll be full time in the Cup Series, right? So you gotta get that practice in.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Is there, and if you can't answer this, I totally get it, are there a few more Cup races potentially on the books for the rest of 2024?
I think there's a few more. You know, hopefully we can put some more stuff together. We got great opportunities here at College Racing to run the 16 car a couple times this year, so hopefully we can get a few more starts in that thing and you know, keep trying to build the Cup side program as well.
For sure. You know, speaking of Colleague, I have been big fans of Colleague. They've been big fans of Lap Traffic. I've had a lot of guys on throughout the years, one of which being AJ Allmendinger, has been on the show quite a few times. What's it like having him as a teammate and to be able to, you know, learn from his experience and him being really one of the fundamental drivers in helping develop Colleague Racing?
Yeah, AJ, he's a character. I tell you what, you never know what you're going to get with AJ. You might get happy AJ, you might get angry AJ, you might get AJ after a bad day at golf. So it's interesting, but you know, I've leaned on him a lot, you know, at the beginning of this year to try to help me get up to speed and things like that. Cause I mean, these cars are a lot different than, you know, what I'm used to in years past. So he's been a huge help on shortening that curve up for me. And he's really good at the racetrack to bounce ideas off of and things like that. He's a veteran in our sport and he's probably one of the best.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. Josh, I know one of the things that's very near and dear to your heart, and I think we talked about it the last time you were on, is you know, going and visiting kids at children's hospitals and all that. Have you been able to keep up with that, with the move over to Colleague and you know, the bigger team and all that, and what's, you know, the future look like on that side of things with, you know, off the track?
Oh yeah, no, we're not going to stop that for sure. We've already done multiple visits this year, and we've got a ton more on the schedule throughout the season. And it's you know, it's something that I really enjoy doing, and I don't plan on stopping doing that anytime soon. It's just whenever you go to those places, man, and you hang out with the families and the kids, and you know, just spend a couple hours with them, it makes a huge difference in my life, and I know it makes a difference in theirs.
That's awesome. I love that. Josh, shout out to sponsors this weekend. Anyone, you know, who's on the car coming up this weekend for you?
Oh, yeah. We've got call811.com for the Xfinity race this weekend. You know, they've been a good partner of ours here the past few years, and they've been growing with us, and we're excited to have them on. I was just talking to them yesterday. They're super excited about, you know, about Martinsville after we had a good run last weekend. So hopefully we can keep that going for them. And longtime partner Alloy Employer Services on the Cup Car, man, they've went above and beyond for me the last few years to get me where I am today, and super thankful for them. So we're gonna go have a long day at Martinsville and multiple laps, and you know, have a good finish for the guys at Alloy as well.
I love it, man. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. Best of luck double duty this weekend, and look forward to talking with you real soon.
Yeah, buddy. Anytime, man. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, man. Take care. I appreciate it. We'll see ya.
All right, buddy. Bye. Thank you.
Oh, there you have Josh Williams. A lot of fun. High energy. I love chatting with him. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's close this thing out with a little Lap Traffic fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Check the website to see who you've still got available. What I love is the fact that we're still getting a lot of picks in from everybody. We haven't had anybody fall off yet, which is awesome. So keep the picks coming in. Let's see who can make the playoffs here. Long road ahead of us. Recap from this past weekend, about 30 players had Chandler Smith for the Xfinity Series win. 9 players swept the weekend. But it was one of those weekends where picking all the winners did not get you week high. Joe Roche, Logan Cummings, Don James hit Truex and Almirola, which was good for 105 and the week high bonus points there. Picking both winners was good for 98 and two bonus points as well. My pick, Chandler Smith, Christopher Bell. I finally got a bonus point, but I'm still way back in 32nd. Ah, man, I got some work to do, but I will do it. Let's see. Top 10, segment one right now in first place with 728 points. David Mullins in second place with 700 points. Matt Dombrowski in third with 684. Mark Ludington in fourth with 683. Dalton Brooks in fifth, 662. Robert Riggs in sixth with 651. Kent Dolphe in seventh with 650 is Eric Gold. In eighth with 646 is Joe Trelone. And in ninth place with 643 is Kim James. And wrapping out the top 10 is her son, David James, with 641. I love that. That's a family affair there. We got mom, dad, and son in it. We've got a couple of those, which is really awesome to have that in the league. Over to the bonus point side of things, we've got Aaron Studwell, David James, David Mullins, and Robert Riggs, all with five bonus points. We got Andrew Yu, Brian LaFell, Carson Hagelin, Charles LaPearl, Dalton Brooks, Eric Gold, Kevin Hahn, Mark Ludington, Matt Dombrowski, Michael Palmer, all with four. Bunch of you guys have three. A lot of you guys have two. And then there's still a few of us like myself that just have one. But we'll pick up a few more as we go along. That is for sure. All right. We are going back short track racing at Martinsville. It's one of my favorite tracks, as is, I'm sure, for most of you as well. Our defending Cup Series champ picked up the win last fall at Martinsville. Our winner from this past weekend at Richmond is also no stranger to Victory Lane at Martinsville. He's picked up five grandfather clocks. If you still have him available for segment one, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of people pick Denny again this week. Will your strategy change as we're about halfway through segment one? Who takes home the grandfather clock? We will find out this weekend. But first, it's time for my picks. And yes, my strategy is changing for sure. I need to make some noise here, so we're going to switch it up a little bit. For the Truck Series, I am going to go with the 18 of Tyler Ankrum. In the Xfinity Series, I am going to go with the 8 of Sammy Smith. And for the first time, I am going to pick the 4 car that is not driven by Kevin Harvick. No, it is driven by Josh Berry, who I think is going to have a great run this weekend at Martinsville. There you have it. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 332 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook Lap Traffic Podcast, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all at Lap Traffic PC. Huge thank you to John Hunter Nemechek, Natalie Naples, Josh Williams for calling into the show. We'll see what we can put together over the next week or two. Enjoy WrestleMania. Enjoy Martinsville. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.